This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. In the Mississippi and Illinois rivers, Asian carp is king. It gobbles up all the food in its path, proliferates quickly, and pushes out other species. Scientists, anglers, and government officials alike want to make sure that this does not happen in Lake Michigan. People have turned to all kinds of methods to control the population, from installing fencing and electrical barriers to keep them from traveling upstream, even a campaign rebranding the carp to Copi, short for copious, to entice restaurants to serve this fish. But so far, diners aren't taking the bait, and many restaurants have stopped serving it. A lot of it has to do with the perception that carp is a bottom-of-the-barrel fish. But in many parts of the world, including Asia, for which the fish was named, it's common to see this fish on the table. So what will it take to put carp on more people's plates? I spoke with Aaron Schwandi Wong, a freelance writer who has been looking into it. And I started by asking him to dispel the myth that Asian carp are bottom feeders.
They really are not. And invasive carp is a very misleading term because it actually is a family of four different species. And they actually inhibit on a higher level of the water, and they feed on other microorganisms.
Uh-huh.
And so they're not necessarily bottom feeder at all.
Well, during the initial rebrand, we talked with the new, well, now director of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, Natalie Phelps Finney. She says the misconception comes from people's experience with the common carp, which is a bottom feeder. Here she is talking about that fish.
They stink. They are not good tasting. They're tough, dark meat. These invasive carp, now Copi, are actually light and flaky, and they're delicious. They're not real fishy tasting. They remind me of crappie, which is one of my favorites.
So that's the flavor of Copi. Do you agree, Aaron?
I agree, yeah.
You were nodding there.
I've tasted it several times, and it's very mild.
Okay.
It's nothing nasty at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also nutritious, high in protein and omega-3s, but it's a bony fish, isn't it?
It is, and that's why a lot of restaurants in the U.S. find it really hard to process. It's just very labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to make it into, I want to debone a fish and present in a fine dining style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet. The fish is common, though, in many cuisines around the world. So talk about what kinds of dishes are popular.
Mm. I grew up in China, and so those carps, they can be grounded and made into fish balls.
Okay.
Some of them are made into fish noodles, and or they can just be presented as any like other kind of fish, and you can be roasted or fried.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned you're from China. I understand there's a lot of confusion in many Asian countries about the disdain here in America for carp, and even some jokes about it. Tell us more.
Yeah. So when Chinese media first reported on the invasive species issues in the U.S., a lot of people in the comments would say, well, why not just let the U.S. hire more Chinese people so they can just travel to the U.S. and consume the fish? Because it's so commonplace in China and as a very staple culinary deal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that was the
chatter.
Reacted to. Yeah.
initially, restaurants were excited to participate in the program. What did you hear from chefs, Aaron, about the original draw of serving kopi on their menus?
Totally. I think it is a lot of people see it as a good cause, and people, a lot of...
So the price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, oh, I mean, people see it as a good cause.
Oh,
I mean,
cause.
As a good endeavor to push for the consumption of, you know, invasive species.
Gotcha.
And some people just want to kind of challenge themselves to create a new recipe to sell a fish that's not commonly associated as, you know, something nice to offer on the menu. So a lot of really innovative chefs who like to play around their recipes are committed to...
Oh, tell us more about that. What kinds of dishes were the restaurants serving with kopi?
Yeah. There are Thai restaurants that are turning that into like Thai soup. And then there are Mexican restaurants trying to make it or incorporate it into a taco. And then...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There's just also other, you know, really like upscale restaurants are trying to present it as a sushi.
So what's the... Yeah, exactly. There's such a mixed bag there. What's the reaction then, at least initially, from diners?
Yeah. What I heard from those restaurant managers is that there's a very low reception among customers, especially because those restaurants are typically seen as more upscale and luxurious, and people, when they go in, they're expecting something fancier, right? And then, so a lot of people just don't really tend to order things that they haven't heard before.
Mm, and that's true.
So a lot of restaurants I talked to, they actually have removed that offer from their menu. Some of them even did that within 2 weeks of promotion.
Really? Is it fair to say most restaurants no longer serve kopi on their menus?
So when the Illinois Natural Resource Department started this campaign, they hired this marketing firm to create a dedicated Instagram account as well as a website.
Uh-huh.
And now when you go onto their website and check the list of restaurants they partner with, actually only one restaurant still serves the fish in Chicago area. All the other restaurants have ended their partnership.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny Zheng, who's an entrepreneur here in Chinatown, he's on a mission to make carp a popular fish. What is driving him, Aaron?
For sure, yeah. He's a very interesting character I encountered during my reporting, and he has already been a very established entrepreneur in Chinatown. He has a lot of hats as, you know, the head of the president of Association of Chinese Restaurants in the Midwest. And now being so successful, he really wanted to make it into his life mission to promote carp. He grew up in the south area of China where where carp is a very common dish in his childhood.
Right.
And he just felt very strongly about this negative and often wrong association of carp that exists in the U.S.
Yeah, when you talked with him, he was making comparisons between the portrayal of carp as an invasive species and anti-Chinese narratives that have been circulating in the U.S.
For sure.
Tell us more.
Very interesting how the geopolitics come into play. He felt that there's a parallel between how the carp is being perceived and how a lot of Chinese immigrants are being perceived. A lot of, you know, worker labor or technology coming from China are seen as kind of invasive or dominating the domestic market and are driving out a lot of, creating a lot of competition and driving out the original labor or technology here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of xenophobia attitude it permeates both in the labor market or in technological field as well as the consumption of fish in general.
Of food, yeah.
Yeah.
He took over a factory that turned carp into fertilizer and feed. What did he decide to do with it?
Yeah, so when Illinois Natural Resource Department started to hire more people or incentivize more people for commercial harvesting of the fish, they didn't really know what to do with the harvest. So a lot of them are turned into fertilizers or turned into pet food. But Johnny see it as such a huge waste of something with a huge culinary potential.
Yeah.
And then he turned it into a factory that turned those carp into packaged food, such as carp noodles, carp fish balls. And he has been partnering with some grocery stores in Chinatown, and you can nowadays see that.
Also, you can get these carp products in grocery Asian grocery stores right now.
Some Asian grocery stores, and he also opened his own restaurant a few years ago as a way to create a kind of a supply chain for the food. And then now you can order carp noodles and carp fish balls at his restaurant as well.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So Mr. Zheng serves this fish at his Bridgeport restaurant. A fusion? Mm-hmm. A fusion. Tell us about more dishes on his menu.
There are a variety of offerings. As some of them mentioned, like fish noodles and fish balls, they're very popular at this restaurant. And then there are some, they have some restaurants that, to be frank, are kind of reserved to for Chinese customers because you feel like these are not enticing for kind of common American audiences, things like Fish Hat.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It's interesting because there's such a desire and push in the culinary world to eat locally and sustainably.
For sure.
Why do you think this fish didn't take off ultimately?
Right. I think just like the program manager told me, it's going to be a long ride to change how people perceive the fish. If there's been this
people's minds are made up, I think.
Right.
In a
yeah.
lot of cases.
I think when you go to these places and when tell people that you're selling carp, you still get the first reaction you get is this is dirty, this is muddy, it's not nutritious. So it's going to take a while to mm-hmm. change people's hearts and minds.
Well, WBEZ reporter Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco covers the environment for us. He's tried Kopi quite a bit himself. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
Do I recommend other people try it? Yeah, for sure. Try something new. It didn't taste half bad. We've got a lot of it here in Illinois. It's all over the Illinois River. Yeah, go ahead. Take a bite.
Thank you, Juan Pablo.
For sure, yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
The Illinois Department of Natural Resources, as we mentioned, is going to continue trying to get more people to try Kopi. Just tell us a little bit more about how they're planning on actually achieving that, Aaron.
For sure. In the initial stage, there have been some issues with the logistics and supply chain. Some factories that have been partnering with them has had to take a leave because of personal issues. So they're, first of all, trying to remain those, to fix those problems and fix the supply chain so that mm-hmm. there will be a steady supply of carp
yeah.
into those restaurants and fish markets. And also they're actively looking for new partners. During the initial stage of the campaign, they partner with a lot of more upscale restaurants that don't necessarily, they're more profit driven. And once they see the carp does not do well in the market, they dropped the campaign. So they're now still looking for new partnership and finding a way to make it into the more popular food market for everyday consumption.
I see. All right, well, that is Aaron Shwandi Wong, who's a freelance writer who wrote about this for Eater Chicago. Now you can check out his full piece at chicagoeater.com. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you so much for
Yummy.
Having me.
This episode was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited and mixed by Meha. If you like the episode, please consider subscribing so that you don't miss out on our conversations about dining trends. And leave us a rating. It helps other listeners find our show. Thanks for listening.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.